Well, little children do not worry, cause he's with us all the time. There's no need in walking backwards, turn around, go rise and shine. If your load always seems heavy, and you're always left behind, pick yourself up from the ground, jump right back, go rise and shine. Rise and shine the early morning, shine your light all through the day. Makes no difference what they tell you, stand right up and light the way. Well, the good Lord said he loves you, and in him new strength you'll find. Even though the world may use you, turn around, go rise and shine. Look at how they did poor Jesus when they nailed him to the cross. When he died up there on Calvary, so the world would not be lost. So no matter how they treat you, they slap you in the face, just remember Jesus loves you, and on that cross he took your place. Rise and shine the early morning, shine your light all through the day. Makes no difference what they tell you, stand right up and light the way. Well, the good Lord said he loves you, and in him new strength you'll find. Even though the world may use you, turn around, go rise and shine.
Amen. Amen. That reminds me of my mama. My mama go and get my dad up for work. Of course, he worked midnight. And she always walk in and say, rise and shine, buddy of mine. Yeah, yeah. And pop out of bed and ready to go. She never said that to me in the morning when I get ready to go to school. It's always, boys!
Last call.
Last call to get up, yeah. But, you know, again, like we say, it was 15-year anniversary of the church today. I can't believe it. I don't know where the time went. I have no idea. It was great to be here in fellowship. And for those of you listening to this later on, we do have people in the church today. We have live parishioners today. There are choir. Now, you guys are the official choir of Shepherd's Christian Assembly. So. And we're still monitoring requests from the governor on the stay safe area, or whatever you want to call it. So we'll look at it and see what happens this week and see what we're doing next weekend. So. But anyway, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the ability to gather here, either in person, Father, or across the airwaves, where we can still be in fellowship and assemble together and just praise your name and be encouraged, Father. God, we just welcome our presence here today, Lord, to touch these instruments and this camera and our voices today. You may bring forth your encouraging word that all of us may be strengthened and bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, we do have an anniversary. I saw a note here somewhere. Yep, tomorrow, Monday, Donnie and Lydia Hay has an anniversary coming up. My land. Did she have a birthday last week? Wow. That, you know, poor guy in a way, because you remember Fred and Brenda Crusoe, their anniversary and her birthday is all one
right.
Day, and they get one present. He gets got it covered, but poor Donnie had to buy two presents. Let's sing happy anniversaries, Donnie and Lydia.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, Donnie and Lydia. Happy anniversary to you.
And many more. Nice. Your offering here. Their birthday is today, so. That we know of, isn't it?
Okay.
Just the church. Oh, Bobby's birthday tomorrow? He'll be 13 teenager.
Oh,
we'll sing happy birthday to Bobby and pray for Susan. Yeah. Yeah, teenager. Happy
birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bobby. Happy birthday to you.
One thing I've noticed over the last week, couple of weeks, watching myself on the videos, I never stand still, do I? I'm always moving. And I keep hearing Carol going, stand still. I just can't do that. But Father, we thank you for all the blessings you've given us, Lord, for today and throughout the years. And God, we just thank you for entrusting us here at Shepherd's Christian Assembly with your word to share in our community and to share with one another. And Father, it's our privilege to return back to you just a portion of what you've given to us. And Father, we do that this morning through our tithes and offerings and our praises. So God, have received our offerings this morning. May your wisdom continue to be attached to it, Father, that we will continue here in this assembly, encouraging one another and sharing your word. And Father, we may continue to shine your light to the darkness of this world, bring more and more people to the saving knowledge and acceptance of Jesus the Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. 13, Susan, that means 2.5 years Bobby will be driving. Wow. Amen.
Stay on the road, Bobby.
Stay on the road, yeah, yeah. Well, are you ready to lead us in praise and worship?
We are. We are ready. You know, Psalms 122, King David said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go to the house of the Lord. I think NIV says, I rejoiced when they said to me. And that's the way we felt this morning, wasn't it? I was glad when they said, come to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, come let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, come let us go into the house of the Lord. I rejoiced when they said unto me, I rejoiced when they said unto me, I rejoiced when they said unto me, come let us go into the house of the Lord. I came running when they said unto me, yes I did, I came running when they said unto me, I came running when they said unto me, come let us go into the house of the Lord. As I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad when they said unto me, come let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I was glad. Well, I've come to glorify his name. Is that why we're here? Of course it is. I've come to glorify his name. I've come to glorify his name. Yes, I've come to glorify the name of the Lord. I've come to glorify his name. I've come to glorify his name. I've come to glorify his name. I've come to glorify the name of the Lord. I've come to glorify his name. Magnify. I've come to magnify his name. Amen. Come to magnify his name. I've come to magnify the name of the Lord. I've come to magnify his name. I've come to magnify his name. I come to magnify his name. I come to magnify the name of the Lord. I come to magnify his name. I come to glorify his name. I come to glorify his name. I come to glorify the name of the Lord. I come to glorify his name. I've come to magnify his name. I've come to magnify his name. I've come to magnify the name of the Lord. I've come to magnify his name. Amen. Lord, we do magnify you this morning. We give you glory in this place. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, our church might be 15 years old, but we still sing, give me that old time religion. It's more than thousands of years old because it's a relationship with the living God who is ageless. Amen. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. religion, give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion, give me that old-time religion. It's good. It was good for Paul and Silas. 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 And it's good enough. Tried in the fiery furnace. It was tried in the fiery furnace. It was tried in the fiery furnace. It was tried in the fiery furnace. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. So give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Amen. You better believe it's good enough. Hallelujah. It's been tried and found true. Hallelujah. Well, once like a bird in prison I dwelt, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and he said to me, glory, he set me free. He set me free, oh, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Hallelujah. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of mine has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. Glory to God, I'm homeward bound. Cause he set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, he set me free. Hallelujah. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of this world can turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too. And glory to God, I'm going through. Cause he set me free, oh, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, he set me free. Oh, he set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Oh, glory to God, he set me free. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. He set me free from myself, you know. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, he is Lord. He is Lord. Yes, he is. He has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is is Lord. Hallelujah. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are Lord. You are Lord, yes you are. You are Lord, you are my Lord. You have risen from the dead, and you are Lord. Hallelujah. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Say, He's my Lord. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. Hallelujah. He has risen the dead, and He is my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, make me an instrument of worship. I lift up my hands in Your name. Lord, make me an instrument of worship. I lift up my hands in Your name. Let's sing it again. Lord, make me an instrument of worship. I lift up my hands in Your name. Yes. Lord, make me an instrument of worship. I lift up my hands in Your name. I'll sing You a love song of worship. I lift up my hands in Your name. I'll sing You a love song to Jesus. I lift up my hands in Your name. For we are a symphony. For we are a symphony. A symphony of worship, yes. We lift up our hands in Your name. For we are a symphony of worship. We lift up our hands in Your name. Singing, I love You, Lord. Singing, I love You, Lord Jesus. I love You.
singing, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord Jesus. Singing, I love you,
deliverance, for salvation. Oh, Father, you are such a good, good Father. We just praise your holy name. We just give you glory in this place this morning. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Lord, make me an instrument. An instrument of worship, I lift up my hands. Lord, make me an instrument of worship, I lift up my hands in your name. Sing.
Souls to Calvary, to the crimson floor. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within. But my word leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. The dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him. He will give me light. Satan's snares may turn my side. But my Lord goes ahead, he leads whatever be tied. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, then to sing forever of his saving grace.
on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then the Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so.
And yeah, well, I want to see him.
Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Hallelujah.
Praise
Amen.
God. Amen. Oh, how I want to see him. Yeah, and some folks, Jamaica is going to be to see God. I have a hard time staying in the corner. Well, some people saying, hey, I just can't wait to see God. I just can't wait to see the Lord. And other people are like this, I just can't wait to see him. I'm going to tell him a thing or two. But seriously, it's that way just because we don't know God. I've been there before. I'm telling you what, I've been mad at God before. I've been mad at God, and the reason why, because I didn't understand. I blame God for everything that took place. Every bad thing that ever happened, I blame God. And wow, I looked and my eyes come open, I realized that God is a God of love. And he gets blamed most of the time for all the bad stuff that Satan has brought into this world, that man brought in because of sin. And boy, I tell you, once I realized that God is a God of love, I looked at the Word, it changed my life completely. Man, I'm no longer mad at God. I bet he's done that, isn't he? Wow, he's no longer mad at me. Yeah, but I think we've all been there. I think every one of us, one time in our life before we come to Jesus, we blame God for everything that took place. And you got to realize, whatever you're blaming God for is probably because your heart was breaking. And I'm telling you, God's heart was breaking also. He didn't want to see us go through this. He never intended for us to go through sickness, disease, and death, and separation, all this stuff. From the very beginning, he created us to be with him forever. Man, he gave us a choice, didn't he? He gave Adam and Eve a choice, and, well, you know the rest of the story that Paul Harvey would say, and sin came in. But God, his love didn't stop for us. He came to redeem us. And that was, again, the principle of us. When God called us to the ministry, then he said, hey, I want you to start a church. It was, man, to show that God is a God of love, because so many of us, we don't understand that. You know, we think that, when we think about God, maybe in the old time days, fire and brimstone, wasn't it? It's just like, man, he's up there ready to strike you down. And, you know, and maybe, well, maybe once in a while people will use that to try to correct their kids, you know. You want brimstone to fall on you? You better settle down. God's watching you, you know. And now I'm not getting around. Listen, there's fire and there's brimstone. And we see the move of God towards the enemies of his children. Amen. God protects his children. Just like we would, right? I mean, you never want to get between a mother and their children. Fathers are one thing, but boy, you try to get between a mother and a child, and you come on the bad side of it, there's a fight going to be taking place. And so, there's fire and brimstone, but that's to protect his children. Amen. But a God of love. And boy, when we got a hold of that, man, it just changed my life. And when I look at this now, this is the Holy Bible, the Word of God, I look out through the eyes of love. Okay, what are you trying to tell me, God? Now, if you watched last week, you saw my hair probably a little bit different than it is now, right? if you didn't see it, it's on the internet somewhere. But my hair was stuck throughout the hair, and I'm telling you what, Ryan came up and took three mirrors when we see my whole head, you know what I'm saying? And the minute he showed it to me, the minute he brought that to my attention, I had a choice. He said, man, that is terrible. Man, and just walk away. Or I could look at it and say, well, I need to do something with that. That's my two choices I had. And I just think about it, you know. I just couldn't do it by myself. I couldn't cut the back of it. You gotta have help, right? And folks, that's the important thing here, that when we look at the Word of God and we see something in our life that displeases to God, okay? He does it out of love, but he says, let's get this out. When you decide that you want to get it out of your life, when you want to please God, folks, too many times we try to do our own. And folks, we need help. We need help from Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and from each one of us to help out. I mean, could you imagine if I tried to cut the back of my hair, you know, trying to even use the mirror, I couldn't do it, you know. But Carol can see the back of my head pretty decent, because she's always slapping it all the time, you know what I'm saying? But it just takes help. And this is where the Word of God comes in at. A couple of scriptures I want to share with you this morning, and we want to step in and just kind of go from the beginning of the church forward, being our 15th anniversary, and just kind of see how we got where we're at today. Because I really believe that what God has done in our lives and through us and through your lives, they will encourage other folks to take that step, just to follow Him, to throw it all in, say, whatever you want, God, I'm going to do it. And not to be scared. Amen? But if you look in, very familiar, if you've ever been to a wedding, you've heard me quote this quite a few times, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 and 8. And this is the attributes, so the attributes of God. You know, when we look at this, wow, Brother Paul penned this, talking about love is, so God is love. So these are the attributes of our Father. Amen? I mean, just think of that. Let's get our mindset away from the fire in one hand and brimstone in the other, and he wants to stomp on you. No, he wants to love you. And this is his personality. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8, it says, the love is patient. Love is kind and not jealous. I'm going to stop there a second. Love is patient. Right there it should, God was very patient with me. Now, I was mad at God when my dad died. I'll tell you right up front, I was mad. Okay? But look how patient God was with me. You know, angry, upset. I mean, if he was a God who I thought he was, it'd been fire and brimstone fall on my head, right? Wiping me out because, man, no. He is so patient. He wants his children to understand him. He wants his children to come to him. So he's very patient. And that's awesome. I wish I was as patient with other people as God has been with me. Everybody says, amen. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. This is our God. If anybody could brag, would it be God? I mean, some of them, but you, if you're going to get in a contest, you know, of who's better than who, I think God would come out on top pretty easy, right? But did you ever see Jesus brag about how good he was? His whole time was showing the Father. And out of love, showing us to come to the Father. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Again, thank you, God, that the love that he has for us isn't provoked. Love does not take into account wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness. And I mean, that's, I want to stop there for a second to understand this. A lot of times in our life, we'll look at other people in the world. And folks, there's a lot of nasty people out there, ain't there? There's a lot of nasty people out there. And sometimes we get so upset. And what we do, we say, hey, man, why'd this happen to me? Look at this person and that person. Look what they did. Now, why I'm going through this? We've got to understand that God doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. Even though that person is the worst person you ever saw in your life, God still has a love for them, a love that we can't even imagine. Now, I know we get upset thinking, man, how can he love them? They had fallen into the trap. They've fallen into sin. They're wrapped up with Satan. And for us, man, we don't understand that at times. We can't understand them. So it's very hard to understand sometimes, you know. Why did this person die? This person's still alive. Look at all that he's doing and stuff, okay? The love that God has for everyone is for hard for us to understand that. His love is that no one would perish. His desire for all his children to be with all his creation, to be his children and be with him forever. So sometimes we don't understand yet. And God, again, we don't understand what God understands. We're still in the flesh. You know, God, I know you're our God of love. Show me, help me understand. And once we understand that God is love, we can rest more. I believe we can. Because we're not be so upset by the things of the world that we can find that peace and joy. Even though there's some things in our lives we won't understand, we won't know everything, why things happen. I know people say, well, everything happens for a reason. Well, things happen for different reasons, okay? But just because things happen for a reason doesn't mean that God approved of it. He gave us a free will, you know? And man's kind of messed things up with that. But, what's that?
Sometimes they're bad reasons.
Sometimes things happen just because of bad choices, right? You ever make a bad choice? No confession today, but we make a bad choice and then we get a bad outcome, you know. It's kind of like, I got paid Friday night and I went out. I got drunk and we went gambling, spent all my money and stuff, you know. Monday I'm getting evicted, but you know, all things happen for a reason. the reason was, you weren't paying attention to what you were doing, you know. But yeah, it's just sometimes it might be a long time before you understand. You know, going back to myself again, as a born-again Christian back in 2000, I'm fairly new, and I was at a Bible study. The pastor was praying for a guy named Jeff Dahmer, you know, pray for his soul. Well, Jeff Dahmer, if anyone needs to burn in hell for eternity, it needs to be Jeff Dahmer. It took me a couple of years till my heart was soft and we're like, man, God loves Jeff. He hates a sin, but loves a sinner. So it's a process, you know. But yeah, we all go through that, you know. I can't tell you to love somebody. I can't tell you to forgive somebody. But God says for us to love one another and forgive, and he will work in your life to get to that point. Amen?
Yes.
The God of love. He's just awesome. God did not take into account wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. He rejoices with the truth. And I'm telling you what, you want to talk about truth, walking truth is Jesus Christ. When we look at that Word of God, that living Word of God, that is the truth. And again, we go back to, sometimes when we hear the truth, we don't like it because it steps on our toes. But again, it's a God of love that shows the truth. Because a lot of times he'll show you what you're doing correctly, then he'll show you where you're still in trouble at, okay? But he does out of love. And any time that sin is brought through our attention, if we study the warrior in prayer, we should rejoice. Thank you, God, that you love me enough that you brought this to my attention because he doesn't want me to perish. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love endures all things. And love never fails. God never fails. Think of that. You ever have people around you that fail once in a while? People that you feel a lot of trust in, the next thing you know, you might have your whole life planted on this one thing this person's going to do for you. They say, I'll do this for you. You thought, oh man, so you maybe invested all your money, all your time in this thing, and it gets to the point where it's supposed to be ready now for you. It falls apart. They back out on you. Well, God, he is love, and he will never fail you. As God is our foundation of our life, when we based our life upon his word, he will never fail. And we might fall, he won't fail, but he'll pick us back up again. God is love. Again, these are some of the scriptures that really jumped out at us 15 years ago when God laid the foundation for Shepherd Christian Assembly. 1 John 4:8, he just reiterates. He says, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And stating that God is love. As we grow in Christ, and I'll go back myself in 2000 when I've done a Bible study. How can you love somebody of that nature? How can you love such a murderer of that nature? And tell them that God's love. And it says, the one who does not know God, who does not love, doesn't know God. So I was growing in my knowledge of God. Otherwise, God was growing in me. And he took my thought process, my heart, whatever, in the 43 years, developed my attitudes, and he had to change them. You know, we've all come from somewhere. We've all had input into our lives. If we have the attitude, the ideas, our responses, it's all based upon things in our life and in our past. And when we come to Christ, realize that God is love, and we receive him now, he has this awesome thing of coming into your life and start reworking our way of thinking, our actions, you know? And it's a process. With me, it's a long process. 20 years into this, and he's still working on me, you know? But he's a God of love. And if you still have problems, really, okay, but if he's a God of love, why did this happen? Well, again, let's go to the most familiar scripture you have when you talk about God's love. That's John 3:16. And I want you to think about this as I share it. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Wow. We have to think for a moment. I mean, a lot of times we recite that. A lot of times we'll see it in different places, John 3:16. But if you think for a moment how much God truly loves us, that he would allow his Son, Jesus Christ, to come upon this world, live in the flesh, and take our sins, our death, our punishment to the cross. Now, God loves us that much, and he's willing to put his Son through that. There must be some more of this God that I don't know. There must be some more of Jehovah that I don't understand yet. And how do we reach that understanding? What you're doing today, getting the scriptures. And sometimes it's crying out to God, listen, my heart's breaking. It's been broken for years. I know you exist. I don't understand you. I'm mad at you, but I don't want to be mad at you. I want understanding. And I'll tell you what, God loves that conversation. He loves it when we come to him and say, God, show me yourself. Let me see your love. My heart's breaking. Let me see it here. And we look at John 3:16, we imagine how much God's heart broke when he gave his Son to redeem us. But at the same time, we see how much God's heart rejoiced when he redeemed us. Amen? And so again, once we get the concept, once we understand truly that God is a God of love, we can look at this Word of God, read it, give greater understanding, and bring a peace to whatever's troubling us today, whatever's separating us from God, that can be removed. Again, it took me years. My dad died 31 years ago. And it wasn't until I got born again, I got greater understanding. My Father in heaven, his heart broke at the same time but mine did. But he restored that. He brought a peace to my mind. And that's what God wants to do, bring peace to us. And again, as we understand God's word, we understand that the things that many people blame God for is because of evil in the world. We look at the scripture and it says, you know, with God all things are possible, and God can do all things. That is true, but he put a limit on himself. That when he surrendered this place to us, mankind, back in the garden, whatever he does it through man. So as you seek more of the Lord, he's surrendered more of your life to him, and you continue to pray more, man, you can change the world. Understand that. God can change the world through you. And that's what he's doing. First of all, he changes you. Then he uses you to reach out to others. Romans 5:8 is another scripture of love. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love. Romans 5:8. While you are still slapping Jesus in the face, he died for you. While you are still taking his name in vain, Jesus Christ died for you. While you're still doing all the things in the world, Jesus died for you. And we say, yeah, but I didn't ask him to. I know. That's how much he loves you. He knew exactly what you needed before you knew it. Amen. That's love. Oh, I don't see how he did it. I mean, can you imagine if Bonnie, if you're going across the street here and you're going to get us all dinner, we're all hungry, you're going to walk across the street. As you get up and go over there, we all start insulting you, making fun of you. And you say, well, I know them guys are hungry. I know they got to eat today. And you continue to walk across the street, get that food, and bring it back. That'd be, what's that? Kentucky Fried Chicken. Okay, hey, we'll eat there. Yeah. But just think about that. Most people would not do that. Hey, you don't call my name, I'm done. But when it's your heart of love, that even you want to meet the needs of folks, even when they want to reject you, that's what Jesus did for us. Again, he did that. So if we're having an argument with God, we're mad at God. Okay, God, I'm sharing. You're demonstrating your love. So I don't understand your love. Come on. Let's sit here. Let's talk. Show me more, God. Change my heart where I can receive and understand you. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that can be a stumbling block, because if we are mad at God and we don't want to receive his love, and it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's that? Why do I want to do that? Why would I want to take a God I'm mad at? Why do I want to take this God and I'm going to confess my sins to him? And he wants to forgive me. I don't want him to forgive me of my sins. No, I don't. I don't understand why that this happened or that happened. But again, let's back up to the scripture before that. That he demonstrated his own love. There's a reason why God had his son die on the cross for us. And I just beg of you today, man, if you're in that argument with God today and you're just, that he is love, that he does love you. He demonstrates it many, many ways. We have to get to the point. Okay, God. Show me. You know? Like my wife. My wife in the mornings, she gets up in the morning, she gets this, I don't know what it is, a mixer or juicer, whatever it is. She puts all of it on. I mean, I can't tell you some of the names of stuff. I put it in. I mean, it just, wow. And she brings me this drink. There. You trying to kill me or what? You know? But in that is everything that she can think of to keep me healthy. I know she loves me. I know she cares for me. And so I receive that and I drink it. And what she'll even do is she'll put a flavoring in that and make it go down easier. You know what I'm saying? But I understand that, okay, this is for my own good. She loves me. Now I can take it. And God is the same way. All these scriptures here, everything here given to us is for us because out of love. Sometimes there's no flavoring we put in the Word of God because it's hard to digest. But remember that his Word is life-changing. And life sustaining now and for eternity. And that was the basis, because you think, wow, if I just talk to God, if I just see God, well, my last scripture to share was John 14:9. John 14:9, if you want to know what God looks like, if you want to say, I want to talk to the big guy, some people call him a big man. No, he's Jehovah, he's God. John 14:9, Jesus says this, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Think of that. Oh. If you see me, you have seen the Father. So now we have a face. We've got a picture. We got attributes. We got a personality. We see, God, I truly believe that Jesus had a personality. He would laugh. I think sometimes when we read the scripture, man, one comes to my mind is the one about the log. You know, he says, now, if you get the, you know, first of all, you get the log out of your own eye. Didn't you help get the dust particle out of your brother's eye? Now you see Jesus, guys, and get this log out of your eye. I can see him bringing humor into it. The message is serious, but, you know, I see him as us. Because we were made in his image. And so, do we like humor? I mean, does it say in Proverbs that laughter makes the heart good? Well, wouldn't he be here with laughter if I bring the heart good? A serious message. He had a serious job he wanted to do, was die for our sins. But I believe he brought humor into that. And so, at least, of course, maybe I just believe that because I like to laugh all the time, you know. But when you see the Master, you see God. What's that? Yeah, joy. Yes, amen, joy. I mean, if anybody's heart was breaking, it had to be his every time he went someplace and people were rejecting him. Yeah, oh man, they don't understand. They don't understand. They don't understand. But he still continued on because the love he had for us. Amen. Well, that was the basic Shepherd Christian Sunday. When God had called us into the ministry, it was to show his love. And we've been trying to do that the last 15 years. And we do it here again. We use humor and stuff to get the... I'm an illustrated preacher. We know that. But just bring that across. But how did we get started? I'm glad you asked that question. I won't bring this into a nutshell. I won't go real long. But I just want to show you some of the things that God builds up faith in you and confidence in you. That way he can do more with you. And I want to go back to the year 2000, January 2nd. I got born again and gave my life to Christ. Wow. And I just, all my sins are forgiven. All the stuff I thought I was doing right, man, he forgave me. All that stuff. Everything. A couple weeks into myself, my son going back to college, and God said, I want you to pray with me. For and I just watch him keep him safe. I went to church that evening. On the way back to college in Ohio State, he wrecked his car, totaled his car, but he wasn't hurt, hit a deer. Wow, thank you, Lord, man. And it wasn't in boot camp. We was going down for graduation or someplace, Fort Leonard, what is advanced training. And we had nothing to drive. I mean, we had duct tape on our car and stuff. And Carol and I, we sat in the living room and we prayed, God, help us, you know, with a vehicle. The next morning, and some of you know the story, but I just want to let you share. Next morning, a buddy of mine, Mike Russ, called me. He said, hey, Sergeant, I got a problem. My wife bought a new vehicle and I don't know what to do with our van. He gave us a van. There, he answered a prayer. But when the time comes to go down and see you, Ryan, they actually give us a new one. His daughter did to drive down to Fort Leonard. So just amazing. And then, again, this is all building up faith, okay? And, not too while longer, we had we lived in a house in Plainfield, and the estate was trying to sell a bunch of the houses. We lived there for many, many years, 13 years, a long time, 14 years. And they were going to sell all the houses. But in order to bid on them, you had to move out, bid on them, and move back in. I thought, wow, Lord, what do you want us to do? So we prayed. God, give us wisdom. Oh, folks, I can't make this stuff up. The next day, my brother-in-law, Jason Griffin, walks into the sheriff's office. I'm working, and I'm back in my office. I go out to see him, and he says, Sturkey, he says, you know, I have nothing going on right now. I'm working. He has his own trucking company. Hey, what he said is go out there on that property you own, and I'll just put a well and septic in there for you. Wow. And then I just pray the day before me and Carol what he wants to do. And here comes Jason in there. Man, I'm going to put this well and septic in for you. And you know what I said? I said, oh, that's okay, Jason. That's all right. Don't worry about it. You know, I'll be all right. I turn to walk down the hallway, and Jason get ready to walk out the door. And God slapped me head and said, listen. And I don't know if he ever calls you name, but to me, he called me stupid. Hey, stupid. Didn't you just call? Didn't you just pray last night what to do? I sent you an answer. And I turned around that quick. I said, Jason. And you come back. I said, yeah, we'll do it. Yeah. What I had to do was swallow my pride to start with, right? I don't know how to put a wild stuff together. But man, it started. So man, he started working on it. We got to the point, we're going to put the basement in. And what we did, let me get ahead of my story here. Okay. He put the well steps again, and then my sister, Cindy, was able to get us a modular home, a new home. We got one picked out, got it ordered. And within a couple of weeks, this fella came out to put the foundation down, lay the basement down. When he came out, it had been raining a lot. And he came out there, and my father-in-law was out there, her daddy was there and stuff, and he walked on the property, it was too wet. And he took God's name in vain, he started cussing. He cussed out my father-in-law, he said, it ain't ready yet, says, I'll be back in a week or so. And he left. And folks, at this point, we bought that property in 1987. This is 2000. We've been waiting that long to get this done. We went back to our house in Plainfield. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I waited all these years, but no one's coming on my property. Take God's name in vain and cuss out my grandpa, my father-in-law. So I called the guy and said, hey, appreciate your hard work. Send me a bill. I'll pay for whatever I owe you now, but don't come back on my property. Bam. Boom. Well, the next day I got a phone call from the company, the loan company's going to put a house in. They can't do the loan. For God, and then he turned around and lost my loan. But they said, we want you to call this company. Call them. So I called them. And they couldn't believe that this other company hadn't called them because they don't like each other. But long story short, they're competition, what it is. Yeah, but not personally, it is competition. Long story short, approval. But we had this. Oh my. And so the house goes in. And this is like 9/11 right now is going on and stuff. The house goes in. Poor Ryan comes back from military. We moved. He couldn't find us anywhere. But no, we didn't plan that, no. But at the same time, we started a Bible study out of our house meeting. Man, God's got his hand on this thing. We started a little Tuesday morning Bible study he was doing. At home, upstairs. It was an awesome time. I'm getting ready to retire. Let's go to 2002. I get baptized, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm going home to work one night. Spirit of God fills up my car, and he says, hey, I want you to be a preacher. I said, right. I said, yeah, well, I confirmed that with my wife, and a couple weeks later, my wife says, hey, Starkey, God's calling you to the ministry. Then, pretty soon, my pastor at that time said, hey, we're going to get studying. So we started studying for the ministry then. And while I'm doing this, I'm getting ready to retire. I'm milking cows part-time with my sister. And they have this van, a big pasture van, that, hey, we don't need that. You guys want it? So, yeah, we'll take it. And so we ended up using that van, give it to a fellow at the church we're attending to drive the youth back and forth to a couple of conventions and stuff. And so anyway, when we retire, we go through the classes together. In 2004, I retired from the Sheriff's Department. A month later, we're ordained. January, we're licensed. And we know that he wants us to start somewhere. And it was in April, he says, I'm ready. He says, I want you to start your church. I checked out, there's 113 churches right there in Koshawk at that time. And he says, trust me. Well, also, I don't want to mention the name, Vicki, you don't mind, do you? But we had a young man who was in church, now out of church, and God said, I want you to start this church, and this man will come back to God. And his name's Steve McKee, who's in heaven today. You find his picture right over here. Man, it's awesome. So we did, okay, May 1st, it was on a Sunday, in the year 2005, we opened our family room, this house that God had built for us. Opened our family room, we started Shepherd's Christian Assembly. And we had, how many people the first time? We had about 15 or 20 people who came out from other places. come to welcome us to the ministry. You know, Vicky was there, Ryan was there, and I don't know, I think most of you guys came on just a little bit later on, but I mean, we took our house, turned it to Shepherd's Christian Assembly, and people would come, and we had a few of them. It's a family room, I understand, and you walk out the family room, it's all you guys doors out to our yard and stuff. And people would come to church at 10:30, but people would come early in order to get a good seat. We had recliners, we had couches and stuff. And, man. I remember old Mr. Cooper there, my land, said he always wanted to get there first because he wanted a recliner. Yeah, him and Polly would come out. And then as time went on, we took all our furniture out of our family room and bought folding chairs. And we noticed about the third week into it, fourth week, Kathy Akins realized we didn't have a cross in our church at home. They took paper and drew this cross, and that's 15 years ago. So we had a cross in our house. They built an altar for us, all kinds of things. It was an awesome time. But one thing that we had discovered when we were going to church is that after church, most Christians, they want to eat. And we take off, we go to L&K, different places, and eat. Well, from the first Sunday on, we started having cookies and coffees right there in the house. Because, you know, if you got a few kids and you got to go eat dinner somewhere, it costs a little bit, you know. And I hate to make my kids sit there and watch me eat, you know. So we bought, Mabel bought this big old coffee pot. We plugged it into a timer. Is that right, Vicky? And we plugged it in, and that thing would kick off. It took 20 minutes to make the coffee. So when the timer, the coffee started perking, we knew we had 20 more minutes of preaching, and it would be time the service would be over. And we're out there. We live out in the country. We're about 14 miles from town. We're really concerned that as the congregation was growing, wintertime, it's hard to get out there. And we was on the phone one time with a bishop down in the southern states about a exit light we wanted for a Christian school. And long story short, he said, hey, listen, are you looking for a church building in town? I said, well, we'd like to find one. He said, well, I've got one up on East Main Street. It says the congregation are a little older now, and there's a few of them. Maybe you can use it when they're not using it. So we grew up across from the Skinny Valley Lumber Company, the Episcopal Church up there, met the congregation, and they agreed that we would rent their church from 11:30 on Sunday till 9 o'clock the following Sunday. And then we have our Bible studies and stuff, and they would use it for their service on Sunday mornings, which we kind of loved it. You know, church didn't start at noon. You had plenty of time Sunday morning to get ready, you know. And so we went down, started going having church there, and it was just a couple of months into it. God had us start having soup on Sunday. Last Sunday of the month, we have a soup available for everyone wanted a bowl of soup. And at the same time, I had a lady in church back from my mother-in-law came to me. She said, hey, we've got a few items I don't need anymore, some knickknacks and stuff. Can I put up a table on these soup Sundays and offer them to give them away for nothing? I said, yeah. And next thing you know, more people are bringing stuff in for giveaway. And we serve maybe 15 or 20 bowls of soup the last Sunday of the month. And then the latter part of 2006, early October, I'm at the altar of seeking the Lord, say God what he wants to do. But I knew that he had something planned. And he asked this question. He says, Stark, do you want to stay here in this beautiful looking church? Or do you want to go where I want you to go? I said, Lord, you call me, I'll go where you want me to go. So Carol and I started walking down Main Street. He drew us to Main Street, walking down the street, praying, seeking the Lord, where you want us to go, what you want us to do. We knew we was getting more into a outreach ministry. We knew we were more into food. We went past this building here. This was a coffee shop at that time. They had just moved over to Roscoe for rent sign. And we came in, looked at it, talked to Bob Scout, who's owned the building, and we rented it. It's amazing. And I'm blessed because when I was talking to him, he says, you know, I got somebody looking at the building. They want to do a 5-year lease on it, you know. I said, well, if they want to, go ahead, you know, because we just want to rent it about a month, and looked at him and said, all right, shook hands, never signed the lease for nothing. 15 years ago, and we've been here ever since. First service was November 2006 here at this building, and we came in, we painted the place. Remember that? We had painting and did, we tore down the, right here with the coffee bar right here, and you see all the outlets here, counter, coffee bar, counter, whatever. We tore it down, and that's what this altar's built out. This used to hold coffee cups and stuff. That's why a lot of people come down here during service and they smile at coffee and it wakes them up, you know, and then the Holy Spirit gets a hold of it, boy, it just gets gone, you know. And we're here, and then in January of 07, God says, time to start feeding people. And that time we had $22, roughly, I think it was. We made some chicken and noodles. Big, oh man, anytime you go to a church social, chicken and noodles is my number one thing. So I made a great big pot, a big roaster of it. And it snowed, and I put a sign, free lunch, stuck out there in the snow. And we had about 20 people come in that day looking around. And I found out that as you make a big pot of it and cook for 4 hours out here, and you freeze it and you unthaw it the next week, you don't have chicken and noodles anymore. You have something you really can't serve anymore. It's terrible. A mush, what it was. But I'll never forget, as we started this, we had a young lady named Holly Grover came in. And Holly, this is Holly, so this, she came walking up like this to me. What's up? I said, what do you mean? What's up? It's free lunch. I said, oh man, Jesus loves you. He just wants us to feed the community, you know. Huh. Trying to walk out. Well, next week she come in, have a bite to eat. And next thing, she started coming to church. Next thing, she gave her life to Jesus, got born again. And she lived a mile down the street here. And every day at 2 o'clock, she would walk a mile up to the church, come in, clean the carpets, do the mopping, clean the bathrooms, turn around, and go back. She did that for 3 or 4 years. And then on Christmas of, I think, 2010, maybe, she went to bed and never woke up from a home of Jesus. But just amazing is how the outreach and stuff started. And we fed lunch one day a week. And then food started coming in. And we did 2 weeks, 2 days a week, 3 days a week, 4 days a week, five. And at the point where we were serving Monday through Friday and then Sundays. And we started off, again, serving about 15, 20 bowls of soup a month. Till right now we do about 18,000 meals a year. And I'm saying, you know, God started off small. If he would have called us in the ministry now, you're going to serve 18,000 meals. God, you got the wrong person. You know what I'm saying? But just the thing that he's done here in the ministry. I mean, and when I say what he's done here in the ministry, this is our ministry, but it's an outreach because we have a lot of churches, a lot of people that pour in to Shepherd Christian Assembly. We just maybe get to be the face that people put with the ministry. But God has touched a lot of lives and has been such a blessing here. We went from one person playing on a harp to, man, we got praise and worship team now. Just, well, look at some of the things, some of the statistics we have here. And we have 113 people have confessed Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, at least through the ministry, you know. And that is, you know, they might have been somewhere else at one time, maybe to another church. They heard the word of God, just happened to be here when the Holy Spirit touched them and surrendered their life. We baptized 119 people. We've got 9 more people pending right now, so the weather gets better. 79 funerals. We have done 48 weddings and served close to 250,000 meals through here. In coats, just all kind of. At one time, we gave out household appliances and stuff. People call up and say, hey, you have all this. You know, somebody just moved out, and we did it. The whole estate's given to us and stuff. But we got the point as we got, probably as I got older, that part was removed, and now we do a lunch. And we do have coats and stuff we give out to folks. It's just amazing how God just finds a way of reaching this ministry and reaching through this ministry. So, get anything there that you okay? But again, 15 years are awesome to be serving the Lord. We thank God for every one of you. I mean, he brings people in of the same heart. Not everyone is cut out for ministry work of this type, you know. And some people have been here and they moved on to other places and stuff. But the heart that you all have, and I want to close up with just one letter I want to share with folks. And this really just blesses my heart and yours, because this is part of you. And I've read this a few years ago, but this is a letter from a young lady who was on the streets and addicted to drugs. And she, well, let me read it to you. She's in prison right now. She said, "I have been thinking about your church a lot, and I've been planning to write to tell you all thank you and wish you all a very Merry Christmas. I'm not sure you know how much your church helped me over the last year. The meals I ate there were a lot of times the only meals I ate during the day, and I can recall times when it was nighttime. I was at the old Park Hotel Park, and you would let me get clothing and water. There was also numerous times that my clothes had been stolen or I had to leave them somewhere because I had got myself into a sticky situation, and I came to your church and was able to find what I needed. Although I never knew the gentleman's name, there was a number of times where he would come over to the park and give me donuts and coffee. I am unsure if I ever took the time to really thank you all, and although these actions were all greatly appreciated, there was one thing I loved more than anything. So every single person I spoke to in your church treated me like I was still human. I know that everyone knew I was homeless and I was on drugs, but not one single person ever made me feel like I was less of a person. Most of the time I was made to feel like as long as I keep fighting to stay alive, I was still worth fighting for. That's the greatest gift I've ever been given. The streets of Coshocton have become filled with so much evil and temptation, it was nice to have a safe place to sit, even for a little while." And her letter will go on. And she's been in prison now a year and a half. She thanks God that she was busted. She'd be dead by now. She turned her life over to the Lord. She's in a Christian outreach up in the northern part of the state. And she took some classes in the culinary arts. Just a couple months ago, she got to see her children, which she hadn't seen for over a year. God's bringing them back together. And that's just one life that the ministry here has reached out to. Just heard last week from a fellow, another homeless guy who was coming through here. He had a hard time with addictions. We gave him a tent to live in at one time and got busted. And anyway, he just contacted me through Facebook. Want to let me know that he gave his life to Christ the day he was in here last time. He's 122 days sober now. Not in this area, he's in a recovery house. But just want to thank also for being here, guys, and people that we feed. We got to realize that whoever comes through these doors, even though the world might be looking down upon them, they are always somebody's son or somebody's daughter. And we all need a helping hand. So that's just part of what we've been doing for the last 15 years here. And again, what our community has done, what the body of Christ has been doing. I can't name everybody, every organization that God moves upon the hearts to donate to Shepherd Christian Assembly as a storefront church, as an outreach. I know I'm this guy today that you all will make him have a small congregation day coming in because of this pandemic going on. But even though we're not in the assembly as usual, I know out there you guys are still ministering the Word of God, that you're still praying, that you're still seeking God in your Bibles, and still growing in the Lord. So. But where we go from here, I don't know. I just take it one day at a time. I learn as I pray, as I seek God's face. He always provides. And here we are 20 years later when I said the van was given to us. And I've never bought a vehicle since. God has always moved upon people's hearts. When they vehicle is still running, but they don't need any more, they're passionate to use this. And about the same time the one that we had breaks down. So he just whatever he moves upon your heart, I don't care where your life is at today. As you receive the Lord, just take it one day at a time. Let him lead you. I'm not saying he's going to lead you into being a pastor or start a church, but he's going to use you exactly where he wants you at. And just taking that step, and you'll grow. You'll grow with him day by day. Just allow him to do that. A lot of lives are touched because of your life. And he will meet all your needs. If we carry Christ in our lives, he will meet your needs. I'll guarantee you that. And he has done that here for 15 years.